You ready to get in the Word this morning? If you would, stand with me as we reverence the reading of His Word. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of James. The book of James. I want to go to the second chapter, James chapter number 2. And when you arrive there, just say amen. We had an awesome time in here at the 9 a.m. service. And I got to be honest with you. There is a verse that we're going to read this morning that I would say most of my Christian life, I wondered what it meant. Thought I knew what it meant. Might have gave you, you know, if I was going to get a grade on the explanation, I might get a C. You know, I might have been passed on my explanation, but there's a verse we're going to look at today that I really believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit is going to unveil. And when we read it, you'll know because you've read it before. And I believe just like I have experienced even this morning, you're going to see the Holy Spirit say, wow, there it is. You'll see the Holy Spirit just reveal it to you. It's going to be an awesome time this morning. James chapter 2, you get there, say amen. We'll look at it in verse number 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called what, church? The friend of God. In light of what we read, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we do acknowledge him right now as our teacher and as our leadership into all truth. Father, I pray for those that would be under the sound of my voice at this precise moment, for those that be here in this assembly, for those that are watching live or by broadcast. Father, I pray that you would bless their hearing, that your people would receive revelation knowledge, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. Father, I ask now that you speak through me the words that you would have spoken. And according to 2 Samuel 23 and 2, I ask that your spirit speak by me, that your word be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. We're entering into a series study. It'll take me 2 or 3 weeks, Lord willing. And I'm telling you, by the word of God, if you grab this understanding with everything that you have and apply it to your life, there is no way your life will ever be the same again. Now, I need you to almost unchurch yourself. Open up His Word today with me. Let's act like we don't know a thing. And let Him teach us His Word, because this simple teaching on friendship will absolutely change everything about your life forever. Mentally, physically, spiritually. Some of y'all might need some help financially. I'm telling you, this thing is the answer. We're talking about the covenant of strong friendship. The covenant of strong friendship. Say that out loud. The covenant of strong friendship. We're going to be looking at two key words there, covenant and friendship, because friendship, biblical friendship, is a covenant. Friendship is born out of covenant. We use that word lightly. He's my friend. She's my friend. That's my friend. But we really need to understand biblically what it means to say, I'm your friend, or he's my friend, or I am the friend of God. You may know the song, may have sung the song, I am a friend of God. What does that mean? Why was Abraham called the friend of God? God, by the Spirit, spoke through the prophet Isaiah in the 41st chapter of Isaiah in verse 8 and said this. He said, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. So the testimony of Abraham was that he was the friend of God. Listen to 2 Chronicles 20, verses 6 through 7. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it, listen, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? So we've got these records here, 2 Chronicles 20 and 7, Isaiah 41 and 8, where Abraham was called the friend of God. We just read it here in James chapter 2, verse number 23. What does this mean? Let's go back into the book of Genesis and look at this covenant that God began with Abraham and why Abraham was called the friend of God as we study the covenant of strong friendship. Turn to Genesis chapter number 12, and when you get over there, just say amen. Genesis chapter number 12. Now, I got to take my time with this today. I got excited at 9 a.m. this morning, strained my voice a little bit. I got to take it easy. I got four nights ahead of me. After today, y'all be in intercession for me and my voice and its strength. I want to be able to endure. We used to do Aletah all week long back in the day. That's when I was 22, 2 years ago. Preached Sunday night through Friday night. One time we did it for Sunday all the way to Sunday. I said, Lord, I got to have me a break. You just go out to do something. Amen. Gracious, Lord, gracious. So we now do through Thursday. But I want you to watch this in Genesis 12. First of all, let me set this up. Covenant. A covenant is a contract. That's another way of looking at it. A covenant is a contract. It's a covenant between two or more parties. A covenant is designed to cancel weaknesses. To cancel weaknesses. When you think about a covenant, you might have two families. And these two families each have a weakness and they each have a need. Let's say you got the Williams family and they can farm, but they can't fight. And so the enemies down the street show up and steal their food. And then you got the Bird family, and they can fight. They'll tear your arm off and beat you upside the head with it. That's bad. But they can't cook, and they can't grow nothing. So they're hungry all the time, and it's hard to fight when you're hungry. So the Williams family goes and approaches the Bird family, and they say, look, if you'll defend our harvest, we'll feed you. Well, the birds are hungry. So they're like, yeah, we'll defend your harvest if you'll feed us. Let's make a covenant. So those two families come together and they cut a covenant. Now in that covenant, their names would change. They would no longer be the Williams family and the Birds family. They'd now be the William Bird family because they've now merged together and they've entered into a covenant. That's what happens when two people marry. My wife was Chrissy Michelle Lafitte. But when she and I married, she became Chrissy Lafitte McManus. Her daddy's name, her last name, became her middle name, and then my name became her last name. But if you think about it, the names merge because she's now Chrissy Lafitte McManus. So now the Lafitte family and the McManus family have merged together in this covenant. Her mother is my mother. Her daddy is my daddy. And being that my mom and dad are in heaven, I can't tell you how much that means to me that in the earth realm, through covenant, I have a mom and I have a dad through my mom, my wife's mom and dad. Our families have come together in covenant. So a covenant is a force that binds two or more parties together. And that binding is based on the vows that were made during that covenant ceremony. The commitment that each person brings to that covenant, that is the binding force of a covenant. I want you to see the covenant or a covenant as a yoke, as something that binds two people together. As a matter of fact, something we may get into this week during Aletah is the 12th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is in the ancient Hebrew pictogram, that of a shepherd's staff. And it was used to yoke or to grab or to control livestock. And it's actually in the ancient pictogram, an alphabet of Hebrew that represents a covenant because it is that of a yoke. It binds, it brings two parties together. So a covenant brings two, and it makes those two one. Now, I believe today that we as the body of Christ need to understand this covenant that we are in with God. I remember years ago, I had a friend, family in the church, and she was helping her mom out whose car had been in an accident. She'd been in an accident and her car was out of order. And so she was asking her daughter to take her here and there. And so I remember having a conversation with her one day and I said, well, was she insured? She said, yeah. I said, well, there may be coverage for a vehicle. You may not have to haul her around to work and stuff. She may have her own car and she needs to check her policy. And so she called her right then and said, Mom, have you checked your policy? You may actually have a rental based on an accident. And so she checked her policy and guess what? She could have had a rental all that whole time. It wasn't that she wasn't in covenant that provided that rental car. She didn't know her covenant. See, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed because they have no knowledge. Isaiah 5:13, God said, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And I'm concerned today that we in the body of Christ have entered into a covenant by the blood of Jesus, but we're not going to see the benefits of that covenant when we don't understand that covenant. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? So now here's Abraham called the friend of God. That means he is bound to God and God is bound to him. Jesus has said in his word that we are his friends, that we have a friendship, a covenant of friendship with Jesus. What does that mean? That I am bound, that I am yoked together with Jesus in covenant friendship. Let me show you what this word says. Genesis 12, you there, say amen. Beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now look at this covenant. God said, we're so one that when one blesses you, I bless them. And when one curses you, I curse them because we are one. That's what God was offering to Abraham. Let's come over 3 chapters to the 15th chapter and watch this continue. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? The steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham recognized, God, why would you do a lot for me? And I'm up in age, I die, and a squatter take it over. It's not going to be left in my family because I don't have any children. But God is letting him know I got that taken care of too. And he tells him in verses 4 and 5 that he'll have seed that will outnumber the stars. Verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now watch verse 8 because Abraham poses a legitimate question here. He said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Have you ever read the promises of God and they were so big and so amazing that you thought to yourself, okay, God, yeah, right. How do I know you're really going to do all these things that you have promised? You ever done that? Well, Abraham is looking at God and said, okay, God, you made some big promises here. And this covenant with, I mean, this friendship with you is going to be great. But how do I know that everything you've said to me, you're going to make good? And the answer is down in verse 18. And for time's sake, we'll just jump way down there and read it. Verse 18. Read it with me, okay? Ready? Read. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. You can stop right there. Read that part one more time. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. So how did God answer Abraham's concern about how do I know that you're really going to do all this stuff that you've just said you would do? How did God answer that? God said, the answer to this is I'm going to make a covenant with you. It'd be like two individuals that were dating and promising each other they're going to love one another forever. And it's a Lou Rawls moment. Well, not in this day and age. It's a Keith Sweat. Well, that ain't really the best one either. But anyway, they're making promises, you know, make it last forever. There's no one for you, but me, you know, no one but you in my life. And I don't want to be with anybody but you. And then let's say she says, how do I know that you're really going to stay with me forever? And then he might at that moment say, baby, I've been waiting on you to ask, will you marry me? She's like, no, Hank, you didn't just say that. Yeah, I said it. And so then you enter into the covenant of marriage saying, I'm ready to commit to you all the days of my life. I commit to you, I make a covenant with you to be your wife. Amen? Hallelujah. So now, God here is being asked of Abraham, how do I know you're gonna do all this stuff? God said, hey, let's make a covenant. And he didn't make just any kind of covenant. If you read the chapter, and we won't read it now, because we're gonna study this a little later in the series, but he went back and he made a blood covenant. God is gonna have Abraham to make a sacrificial offering. Blood is gonna be shed, and God is going to walk in that blood as he makes a promise with Abraham, as he makes an oath with Abraham that every word he promised, he will make good. Now, when God walked in that blood and made that covenant, he was saying that my word, my life is in my word. My life is in my word. I swear my life on my word. He was committing his life to his very word. And Abraham knew the severity of God walking in blood to make that covenant. So this now became a covenant, a blood covenant of strong, unbreakable friendship. Now in a covenant, in this covenant of friendship, your strengths cancel out your weaknesses. And the initiator of this covenant, God, knows very well what Abraham's weaknesses are. He knew Abraham's weaknesses before Abraham did. He knew what Abraham lacked, but he also knew Abraham's potential. So he came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Abraham, I'm going to bless you until you're a blessing, until all families of the earth have been blessed. And God's not intimidated by Abraham not having kids. God's not intimidated by Abraham's position. As a matter of fact, he's going to tell Abraham in that 12th chapter, he said, look, I need you to get away from your kindred. I need you to get away from your father's house. I need you to get away from the land that you're accustomed to. I need you, Abraham, to get disconnected from everything that you've been connected to, and I need you to get connected with me, because what you've been connected to ain't taking you nowhere, but if you connect with me, we're going to go somewhere. He needed Abraham literally to make a covenant, a binding yoke with him, so that God could take him to his destiny. But in order for Abraham to do that, in the 12th chapter, the first verse, he had to disconnect from that which would have held him back from reaching his full potential. Now, in a friendship, in the covenant of friendship, God has set this thing up so that the stronger always provides what is needed for the weaker. But the weaker is always, in the weaker always exists the potential to be like the stronger. In other words, when God looked at Abraham, he saw something in Abraham that said, Abraham, you can be everything that I've intended a man to be in the earth when you're yoked up with me. In covenant with me, Abraham, I can take you and you can reach your full potential if you'll get in covenant with me. But watch this now. Abraham had to disconnect from everything that was holding him back. You see, the oldest study of the Hebrew language where we get the Bible takes us to the very alphabet that makes up the Hebrew language. Now, y'all stay with me now, pay attention here, okay? The very language of the Hebrew alphabet is made up of 22 Hebrew letters. And each one of those letters in Hebrew has specific individual meaning. We do every year the Aleh Tah conference, where we look at the Aleh, which is in the ancient pictogram an ox head, and it represents strength, muscle, and power. And then we look at the Tah. The Tah is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's represented by a cross, two sticks placed over the top of each other, and it represents a mark. It represents a place. It represents a destination that God's taken you to. And we recognize that Jesus is the Aleh Tah, that he was God's strength to get us to the destination. Hallelujah. Amen. But Jesus is not just the Aleh Tah. When God said he's Aleh Tah, he meant he's everything in between. And he had 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and they all have individual meanings. And the 12th letter of the Hebrew alphabet actually represents a yoke. It represents something being yoked, or tamed, or taught, are controlled. And when you put the ox head next to that lamed, the 12th letter, then now you get a strong yoke. You get a strong covenant. You get a strong binding force that bring two things together to reach their full potential. Now, I want you to watch this here now, because that's the oldest form of knowledge written to express covenant, as a yoke. We showed the picture in the trailer of the series. You saw the two oxen bound together by a yoke. That's where you take two animals, hook them together, so that now you don't just have one horsepower. Yeah. If you got two wagons pulling your chariot, you can say, I got two horsepower chariot. Come on, somebody. I remember being a kid pushing my daddy's lawnmower around the yard, 3.5 horsepower Briggs and Stratton. What you say? I had 3.5 horses at my fingertips. Of course, I don't know if that was really 3.5 horsepower. But the point is that when you yoke two horses together, you got two horsepower. You yoke six horses together, you got six horsepower. Everybody get the point here. The ox, the aleh, represents strength. So God, and it was the strongest domestic animal that you could have. But watch what God did. Watch what God did in the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, God made a law. And he says in his word that you cannot, in chapter 22, verse 10, you cannot yoke an ox with what the King James Bible calls an ass. Now that's Bible. That's not me using bad language. I'm not talking about anything other than an animal that we would call a donkey. But biblically, under the law, you could not yoke a ox with a donkey. Why? Because the donkey was stubborn. The donkey was not as fast. The donkey was not as strong. So if you hook that donkey with an ox, you hinder the ox. You don't help the donkey. Now you may say, but Pastor, you said that a covenant was based on strengths canceling out weaknesses. Not when the weaker party does not have the potential of the stronger party. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. See that covenant no longer works. It's all about the potential of that one, bringing that one up to the full potential by hooking it up with one that has arrived. Are y'all with me here? So the law says, hey, you can't yoke a donkey with an ox because that donkey does not have the potential of ever becoming to the place that ox is. So what you would do is you would take a yoke and then you would take that mature, seasoned, tamed, strong ox and you would yoke it to a young, untamed, immature ox. And now that ox that you've invested in and you poured into and have trained and developed and tamed, now you yoke him up with a young, immature ox and you let that ox do the taming. And now he's gonna submit to that stronger ox and because he's stronger, but yet he can arrive to that ox's place because he actually has that potential inside of him, because in him is a tamed ox. He just has got to get yoked up with a tamed ox until he can find out what he can. See, he don't know what he can do when he's out by himself, but you yoke him to a stronger, more powerful, trained ox, and that younger, immature ox realizes, look at what I can do, that he could never have done had he not been yoked up with a more powerful one. The problem with many of us today is, the problem with your life right now, so many, is that we are yoked up with the wrong people. If you look at your closest and best friends and you say, where they're going is where I want to go. Where they are is where I want to be. Then yoke up, because that's where you're going to be. See, your friendship should challenge you. Your friendship should move you. Your friendship should take you to a place that you could have never gotten to by yourself, but you get there when you yoke up with the right people. Now, I know what some of you may be thinking, so I got to fix this right now. Because some of you are thinking right now, oh, Lord, I done married the wrong person. This is confirmation right here. I knew it. I thought I married an ox, messed around and married an ass. But listen, you got to know that God is able to turn your ass into an ox. He has not called you to divorce your ass. So don't use this as any kind of explanation or excuse to do something. Now, friendships, that's another story. But we're not talking about marriages here. All right? Now, see, you hook that ox up with that donkey. And that donkey now becomes dead weight. That ox can't reach his potential because he's dragging around a stubborn donkey that won't move at his pace. Now that ox is struggling because of what he's hooked up to. See, Hebrews chapter 12 says that sin is a weight that besets us. So many times we're yoked up to things that are only holding us back. Think about the things that you may be addicted to. Think about the things that you live for. What's in your life? What's in this world that's got you bound? Why can't you, move out in what God's called you to do? So many times it's because I'm bound to this addiction. I'm bound to this person. I'm bound to this habit. I'm bound to this way of life. And that thing has got you yoked down and bound, and now you're not reaching your full potential because of what you are yoked up with. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? But when God entered this covenant with Abraham, he took Abraham to a place that he could have never went by himself. See, I know what to do. I'll show you where Jesus said it. Let's go to Matthew 11. Can't nobody tell it better than Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 11. I have read this verse most of my Christian life, probably didn't understand it, thought it did, but I really believe that today I bring to you something that was given to me by the Spirit of God, because I'm seeing this verse like I have never seen it before. And I believe that you're going to see, if you haven't already, this same revelation. Let's go down to verse number 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Now let's stop right there. Here's Jesus. And here's the perception of Jesus. He's hanging out with folk that are drinking and overeating. He's a wine bibber. Notice what they called him. Read it with me. A friend of publicans and sinners. Read that out loud. A friend of publicans and sinners. Now, remember, in Jesus' mindset, friendship is to take somebody to their potential. But in those that were being critical of him, they were saying, hey, why would you befriend? Why would you reach out? Why would you go engage yourself with those that are gluttonous and wine bibbers? And see, some of you right now have read that and said, see there, Pastor, that's why I was in the club last night. I'm trying to be a friend of those that need Jesus. But before you jump to that, look what Jesus ends this with in verse number 19. Watch this. He said, but wisdom is justified of her children. Now, children here, meaning the offspring, are the fruit. Wisdom is justified by its fruit. The end, justifies the means. And what Jesus is saying here is that look at the end of these people that I came to. They're not wine bibbers and gluttonous sinners now. They've been saved. They have repented. They're now in ministry. He's talking about, hey, the wisdom's justified in her children. The ones that I came to and befriended, they're no longer where I found them. Man, that's a good word right there. I mean, look at where you were when Jesus extended his friendship to you. I think about where I was when Jesus extended his friendship to me. I'm not who I was before Jesus extended that friendship to me. He brought me out of where I was when I began to get yoked in covenant with him. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so he makes that case, and we'll keep reading. Verse 20, he said, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, read the rest, because they repented not. So the context here is that these individuals, these sinners, as you would say, that Jesus had befriended, they actually repented. They changed. See, some of you are hanging out with folk you shouldn't be with, and then you're saying, well, I'm trying to lead them to Jesus. But they're leading you to the devil. Well, I'm just there because they need somebody to, you know, to help them out. But they're hurting you. You're not improving them, but they are degrading. You're not moving them forward. They're taking you back, so this ain't working. They must be stronger in this relationship, and their influence is stronger than yours. And instead of you moving them forward, they're moving you back. That's a sign of a bad covenant. You see that? So Jesus is saying, hey, wisdom's justified in her children. Now watch this. Verse 28. Drop down. Verse 28. He says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, right now, I want you to get the picture of that vision we saw when the message came on. Those oxen out there, and they were laboring. I want you to get a vision of that. I'm laboring, I'm toiling, I'm struggling. It's all I can do to get one foot in front of the other. It's all I can do to make it from Monday to Tuesday. Everything is a press. I'm barely getting by financially, barely paying my bills, living from check to check. Morning to night is always a struggle. This life is so hard. I'm pressing. Seem like I can't get any help. I take one step forward, two steps back. I can't seem to get anywhere. Jesus said, hey, y'all need to come to me that are heavy laden. You're heavy laden because you're connected to something that is holding you back. You're connected to something that's not letting you reach your potential. Something's holding you back so that you're spending more energy pulling that mess than you are advancing. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? You could run that track faster if you didn't have a tractor tire tied around your waist. Listen, you're applying so much energy, but most of that energy is being exerted, pulling stuff that you shouldn't even be connected to. If you had let those things go, you would find out how much freer that you could move and operate. Jesus is saying, hey, come to me. Come to me, ye that are heavy laden. Heavy laden means you are bound. You are bound. You are yoked to something that is pulling you back. Now watch what Jesus says. Because we would think right now, that the answer of Jesus is, let me just untie you. Let me just untie you. Let me just undo the leash. And many of us think, if I could just get free. And we think, if I could just be free of whatever it is I'm struggling with mentally, if I could just get free of whatever it is I'm struggling with physically, if I could just get free of these debts and my financial issue, if I could just get free, then I know everything would be all right. And that is a deception of the enemy, that if we could just get free. Jesus offers something better than just getting free. Watch what he says in the next verse. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now notice what he's saying in verse 28. Let's get you out of that heavy laden yoke and let's put you in my yoke. Look what Jesus is saying. Let me unyoke you from the world. Let me unyoke you from your sin. Let me unyoke you from all those people that have been pulling you back, and let me yoke you up with me. Take my yoke. Get hooked up with me. Bind yourself with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Read verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What makes his yoke easy? When you're yoked up with the ox of all oxes. Come on, somebody. If I'm a little ox and I'm yoked up with Jesus' ox, all of a sudden, whatever it was I was pulling just got real light, because now I got the strength of an almighty God pulling that thing with me. Hallelujah. Are you seeing what Jesus is saying here? He's saying the reason you're heavy laden and burdened down is you're yoked up to something and you're pulling all the weight. But if you'll yoke up with me, I can pull the weight. Let me pull the weight. If you'll ever yoke up with me, I'll pull the weight. The things that are impossible for you and I by ourselves come very easy when you're yoked up with Jesus. There are things in my life, there are things in my life that I could never achieve without him. But with him, they're easy. You can't weigh this life that Jesus offers and ever think that you could ever have the power to achieve it without him. He's saying, if you will connect with me, if you will yoke with me, if you'll enter into my covenant with me, then everything else you're doing is going to be so light. It's going to be so light. I mean, you don't, listen, when you get ready to move out of your house, you don't call scrawny people. You call folk, the only reason you call some little scrawny somebody is that they own the truck. Maybe we got to move. Who you going to call? Well, I call Jimmy. Jimmy, he can't pick up nothing. Yeah, but he got a big truck. Oh, yeah, call Jimmy. Jimmy can hold the door open and we'll bring whoever. You think about muscular, strong people that know how to get the job done when it comes to moving furniture. Now watch this. Think about your life right now. Jesus saying, hey, when I'm helping you, when I'm in covenant with you, everything gets light for you. Yeah. I make everything light because I bear so much personally, you don't even know you're carrying anything because I'm carrying so much. You're like, Jesus, you got so much. I don't even know I got the couch. Do I even have any of the couch, Jesus? Jesus, hey, you holding all the couch. Hey, Jesus, you got the couch. I got it right here. Hallelujah. See, you've been looking at what you couldn't do, but you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You've been looking at a life wondering, how could I ever have that? You just got to get hooked up with the right person. I'm telling you that Jesus can take you to a place you could have never gotten to by yourself. And that's what he was telling Abraham. Abraham, get away from your kinfolk. Abraham, get out of that land. Abraham, leave all that alone. You'll never go to your destiny with all those things. Let those things go. Abraham, make a covenant with me and I'll make your name great and I'll bless you and you'll be a blessing until all families of the earth are blessed. Abraham said, God, how do I know this will really happen? He said, oh, let's make a covenant. I bind myself to you, Abraham, and I bind myself to the promises that I have made you. That's covenant. That's the covenant of strong friendship. Now, not only do we want to weigh this word against the relationships that we have in our life. Who are you yoked up with? We certainly need to walk away from this message saying, am I really in covenant with Jesus? Am I really in covenant with Jesus? Have you made Jesus your life partner? Have you made Jesus your best friend? Have you made Jesus the one that you seek counsel from and advice from and strength from? Have you made him priority in your life? Have you made him your business partner and said, Jesus, you know, I'm trying to do this and this and this and nothing seems to be working. Is he not saying, hey, untie yourself from that thing and hook up with me and let me be your burden bearer? When you get hooked up with me, everything else is light. You'll always know when you're operating in your own power because it will tear you down. And you'll always know when you operated in God's power because you'll get it done and look back and say, my God, how'd that happen? Because it was him. That's the covenant of strong friendship. And we, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, have been called the friend of God. If God be for you, who can be against you when you're with him? Well, if God be for you, then never will the righteous be forsaken or his seed begging bread. The answer to life is in this covenant.